listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
You know, I don't actually know if I need to say anything, because I will though, okay? Otherwise you won't get your money's worth. You may not anyway. But those last three songs pretty much lay out, I guess, what I'd like to say today, which is that Christ is enough. He's in everything before we were there anyway. And then because of what he's done for us, we can't help but speak love into people's lives. That's basically the message, okay? So we've finished about... No, okay, so I'll keep going. Could we, Derek, get that one up there? Not that one. But I have been tricky because I've asked him to run it outside of the software, so... Because I spent a few minutes playing with a new animation. See if you can pick it, I'm pretty excited. I'm up. Sent. Okay, so we are doing the fifth of five chapters out of this book that we've been reading by Michael Frost. And so I'm going to sort of summarise some of that chapter, but then try and draw out, I guess, where I feel like we've been going as a church as we explore this book and what's been coming through to us. And this is the fifth of five habits. So that's what he's talking about, is habits that we can build into our life. As I was procrastinating, thinking about what I was going to say, I looked up how to change a habit, which, if you recall, Paul actually talked about, I think, in the very first message. And he talked about a woman who had completely transformed her life by changing one habit right at the very beginning. I think it was it smoking? Was it smoking? So she managed to change that. And from that, there was a whole cascade of life events that led to her life basically being a mess through to something that was really whole. And I guess that was to illustrate the power of being able to change a habit. And then I got depressed because I looked on YouTube and pretty much everyone says you can't change habits. It's really, really hard. It's almost impossible. But it did actually say the same thing Paul had, that, you know, it's about often the environment and then some cue that happens, and then there's reinforcement through your neural network that it then keeps on happening because it's meeting some need internally, right? And I guess Paul talks about this when he says, you know, I keep on doing the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do, basically. And he's talking about habits that aren't the way they want to be. But then he goes on to say, well, that's going to be the case if you try and do it out of your own strength, because that's not possible. So he's reinforcing this fact that it's really hard to change a habit. But one of the things that Michael talks to us about is saying, well, we've talked about... Learning. Okay. And so these are all ways that we can interact and show the love of God with the people around us. And one last one that he's talking about, it doesn't really fit with the rest of the word in a way, bell. The scent part, I think, is more about understanding who we are and less about what we're doing. So what he says was, well, what might it look like? Who might we be if we're people who are sent? And he draws out, I'm just going to summarise some of this book and then come back to some of what I want to say in a minute. He says there's four examples of things that we might do if we're sent people, things that we might bring into the world around us. And the first one is reconciliation. When do we hear that word? What does it have to do with? Guys at school, you would have heard the word reconciliation. You haven't? No. Geez, you do really well. You must put your fingers in your ears. Because I reckon there's a whole week, isn't there? Reconciliation week? Often talking about the relationship between white Australia and Aboriginal Australia and the pains of the past and trying to undo a lot of what that's been and bring about healing. And what Michael says is, it would only be normal that if we know the love of God in our life, that we would be agents of reconciliation in the same way that Jesus was between humanity and our Creator, that he reconciled us together within himself, that he is in all things, and that we would be the same for the world around us. He says the same for justice, that where there are right wrongs, we would right them. Yeah? that we would see beauty and say and point to it and say to everyone around us, there is beauty in the world. And that we would bring wholeness when there's brokenness. And some of this resonates for me, but there are only four possible things. And what I realized was these are really personal things. They're personal, but they come from our relationship with God. What are the things that you bring? Just a question for you. Take a second. What are the things that you bring? What are the things really important to you that are a big part of your relationship with God that then become part of who you are into the world? So mine, when I thought about this, was that I started with the word truth. It's often the word I use to describe it, but a better word is actually clarity. Something that God has done for me, I believe, into my life, has helped me make sense of the world. You know, I do science, and it's because I have this thing toward wanting to understand how things work. But what I love doing is seeing the truth that's underneath something, or bringing clarity where there's a bit of murkiness. And that's what I enjoy doing. And I think that that's what God's used me to do in places at times, is walk into a situation, not particularly faith-oriented, but I think God just wants us to have clarity. I don't think he wants lies and confusion. So for me, it's about, well, when I go somewhere, can I bring clarity? I don't mean that as in I'm thinking ahead of time, can I bring clarity? I mean, in my heart, there's a desire for clarity. And so I see something that's not clear and I go, can we make that clear? I reckon other people might bring, for example, it relates back to eat, they might bring food. They don't like seeing, or clothing, they don't like seeing someone not being cared for. And so they bring nourishment and caring. Someone else might see boredom and they bring excitement. What is it that is deep down inside of you that God is raising up? You can call it out if you want, but I just really, personal reflection. What is it that God has laid in your heart from the moment you were a small child that is something important to you, but he wants you to share it with the world because ultimately that's what he's asking of us? Have a think about it. So that's the first part of this chapter. And then Michael goes on to talk about something that I hate with a passion, writing. Gosh, I hate writing. Who journals naturally? Yeah? It's all right, don't be scared of me saying I hate it. It's not a good thing. Who journals? Yeah, a few people. Interesting. Are there any blokes that journal here? And don't be ashamed of putting your hand up. No blokes that journal? You do? No. You were nodding that no, you don't. Yeah, right. I don't. It tends not to be something I know, boys, do you guys keep a diary? You've got a little locket on it and little flowers and a rose. Yeah. You keep the key with you so that your little sister doesn't find it. Big sister. So interesting that Michael, not Michelle, brought this up. I thought. But I reckon there's an element to this which is good, and I wish that I wanted to do it. Because I think the content of what he's saying is good. He says, the great thing about journaling, now for me this is actually probably travelling in the car and I pray and I think and things go around and around and I think I'm journaling as I drive in my brain. But, you know, same idea. Why was he suggesting it? Well, he's saying, well, as you go about life, there are lots of things that happen and it's easy to get caught up in them and we need to process our way through them. Not get caught up in them. I'm going to rip this out of this whole concept of being sent and just say, generally in life, stuff happens and we need to make sense of it. And journaling can be a good way to process that. I think a lot of people in mental health would suggest it's a good thing for that. The other thing is that as we go through that process, we become conscious of what God is actually doing, because right in front of us is a written record of all of the things that have been happening in our lives. And I think there was a time when I actually did keep a journal and I wrote in it probably once every 6 months and just sort of tried to keep it up to date. And I remember going back through it and going, wow, my thinking has changed a lot. There's things that have happened, but the way I saw the world has changed. And I think that's God doing that. Could be a record of the things that God has brought into your life, insights. What are you seeing? What's happening in the world? But also Michael encourages us, and I would encourage us in our prayers, to be raw with God and go, excuse me, but what the hell is going on, God? Why is it like this? That is an utter mess. You might even use worse language than that. You might just say, I'm really annoyed. I don't want it to be that way. And that as you write it down, or we speak it out, then there's a truth that happens, because it's really easy for us to hang on to that stuff down deep and not admit that that's actually what we're feeling. God can't do anything unless we're willing to have it out, right? So I think that's part of what he's suggesting with the processing. Be real. But the one I like the most, and I think Tara touched on this through what we were singing and those verses, is we need to see ourselves differently. We need to see ourselves as God's children. And I think, as I've said, probably said last time I spoke on the eat topic, there's a risk here that all of these habits could just become yet another law to us unless they come from God the Father, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who just flows out of us. So this part is about us seeing ourselves as somebody who God flows through, I think. Because for me, I'm going to talk about me, but this could be you, okay? It's really easy for life to be like this. There's the family me. There's the social me. So that's when you smile and you look happy and shake hands even though you don't feel so good. I genuinely shook your hand before and I was happy. That wasn't a fake social, by the way. But there's the home me. That's when we're generally warts and all. And our family cop it. Yeah? That's the home me. There's the work me. That's when I'm most professional and try not to let the emotions out too much. It doesn't work very well. I've cried a number of times at work. But there's the church me. So that's when we make sure we're pious, right? Although Jean was pointing out that in the past we would have all been wearing suits and our best dress, but that doesn't seem to happen anymore. You guys wear your suit? Yeah, pretty close. It's good clothing. Them threads. Yeah. There's the alone me. Now, that might be the me that I am when I am alone, or it might be the me that feels like I'm alone. Could be a bit of both. There's the time with God me, and then what Michael's asking us to do is think about ourselves as being the sent me. But the problem with this is that all of these circles are all separate from one another. And unless they're touching each other, unless they're more than touching each other, there's a lack of congruence, there is stress, there is tension, there is poor relationship, there is lack of realness, and to be honest, you look fake. No one wants to see a sent you that isn't also the family you, the church you, the alone you, the social you, and every other part of you. No one wants that you. They want the full you that God made you to be. And so I think what Michael's trying to say with the journaling is actually about bringing it all back together again. I think where he's coming from, perhaps to begin with, is actually about saying that we need to be deliberate. Because otherwise, well, it's a balancing act trying to keep all these circles apart. It's actually a defense mechanism, isn't it, quite often? If we keep them all separate and nothing overlaps, then I don't even have to be aware of the true me, and I can be trying to do a balancing act to keep my life together. But eventually it all comes crashing down. I actually recently watched a friend try and do something similar to that for an hour and a half with rocks, and they came crashing down many, many times. And if that's not a metaphor for life, when we try and keep the bits of ourselves separate to look just right, I don't know what is. So I think what Michael's trying to say is, through all of these habits, let's just not go about life on autopilot, right? We actually want to be deliberate about what we're doing to be God in the world. This can be a deliberate thing. There's habits we can form. We can choose to do things. We're not just a machine set on autopilot and said, there you go. There's decisions we can make. I want to go a step further, though. I actually think what we're looking for, and maybe Michael meant this, but I think what we're looking for is we're looking to be integrated so that all those circles aren't separate circles. And that if we're not integrated and our whole life isn't one, then I think we're missing out. Well, I think others are missing out on something. So here's my animation. Look at that. Yeah. Right. So what he wants is that, but I think this is the message. Who are we really? We are the child of the living God. We're redeemed and whole me. That's the me that everything else fits within, because that's the me that fits within Christ. That's the me where Christ is the center. That's the me where every other me is not a separate circle, but instead I'm whole and redeemed within Christ. All those other things are just expressions out of that, aren't they? So when we talked about Eden, I talked about the rushing river that could cut through the source of everything. I guess that's, I want to just remind us again that when we know that we are the whole and redeemed me inside of Christ, then it's that rushing river that comes out of us that actually carries us along, that means we're sent. Sent like a leaf, in a way, floating down this massive stream, and God is the one directing our path. We're not trying to paddle against it, we're floating with it, with the power that comes from God. Maybe another way of looking at that, I was thinking, I think we are sent, but I think it's important to remember that we're sent in the same way that we're called. We're not called. It's easy to think of being sent as being, that's another thing I need to do to be a good Christian, is I need to be sent. I need to go and be an evangelist. That's the thing I need to go and do. But I think it's true that we are called to be sent, but we're sent in the same way that we're called. Called to Christ. How are we called? What does he say? Like children, right? We're called like to be like children. We can't, it says, I tell you the truth, no one's going to inherit the kingdom of God unless you come to me like one of these children. What does that mean? Well, I like this one because it's kids playing with water, and I often think of God as water. I don't know, for a long time, God has always been water to me. I don't mean he's actually water, but the nature of water that rushes through, the nature of water that fills up every hole, the nature of water that quenches every thirst, the nature of water that you can dive into and cool and have fun and frolic like a child. So unless we're called and we answer as a child, being willing to dive into the water and frolic and have fun with God, then why would anyone want to hang around with us and watch us be sent? But how better way could there be to be sent but to play with water and enjoy and invite others to join in with us? So I think that's how God calls us to be sent, is the same way that he calls us into himself as a child. Yeah? So that's a word, emissaries. People know this word? I don't know why I've heard this word. Anyone have a cracker? Emissary. So it means a sent one. Right, so you can sort of imagine back in medieval days, there's like a king who needs to send a message out to the neighbouring kingdom that says, please pay your taxes or I will come and invade your homes. Something like that, right? And so he sends this person that he trusts a lot off on his horse and he gallops off to the other place and then tells them the message. So that's an emissary, someone who takes a message on behalf of the king, right? It's a big word. It's funny, I typed it into Google. And if you ever do the definition, they come up with the translation, and the first one is Afrikaans, just because Afrikaans starts with an A, right? And so the translation for emissary in Afrikaans, I really like it. It's a senderling. How cool is that? To me, that sounds like you're a kid, because you're just like a senderling, right? You're the senderling. So I think that's who we are. Because we're children of God, we're the emissaries. That sounds too formal. Go with senderling. I'm a senderling of God. Yeah? I'm like a kid who knows the Father so well that he's willing to let me, as a kid, go out and talk about what I know of my Father. And he trusts us, and it doesn't matter if we stuff up, because we're kids. And stuffing up is how we learn. And we're senderlings. So if there's one thing to remember from today, is that we're senderlings. That what that means is childlike knowledge of the Father who loves us dearly, who flows through us like water. And we go out like a child in the same way we came in like a child. And we show everyone else how much fun we're having. And that means every part of us, there's not like the scent bit. There's the family bit, the alone bit, the church bit, and it's all one big bit in God. And we let everyone see all of that so that they can see what God is doing in our lives. So I think for this whole book, what we've been looking at is tips and tricks, tools of the trade, things that we might be able to do to share our life with others. But I think it's absolutely fundamental we always remember that all of that comes from our Father who redeems us and makes us whole.